Greetings and welcome again to Meditation Moments. Now we're talking to you today about two little words in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. And those words are utterly destroy. Well, you know, in just a few moments we have on the air, we couldn't possibly tell you the story of Saul and Samuel and of the king of the Amalekites, Agag. We couldn't possibly tell you the whole story, but Saul was told to go out against the Amalekites and to destroy them utterly. God's word says, destroy utterly. But Saul didn't do that, if you remember in the story. He brought back the king Agag chained to his chariot. And he also brought back the best of the cattle and the sheep, because he was going to offer them, he said, as a sacrifice to the Lord. But this is a sad story of the growth of evil in a life which was once given to God. I want to talk about little sins that are left in the life that soon grow to be such great sins, and what was once so harmless seemingly soon conquers the life. I had this brought to my mind especially recently when a girl that I know of that had gone a number of years to Bible school right here in Los Angeles. And then she married, she went to Korea. And there she fell in with companions of her husband in business, and there was just a little touch of this and that socially. And now she has come back home, and her mother tells me that she has gone utterly away from the Lord and into the world, because she compromised in the beginning, and it just began with such little things, just little social temptations. And now she's utterly away from the Lord. And so as Saul spared Agag, the wicked king, as he thought for a good purpose, and kept the best of the spoil to be sacrificed to the Lord, God had said, slay utterly. And that word, slay utterly, should be written upon our hearts, not halfway, but utterly. Anything less than that's going to be disobedience, and it'll bring disaster. Why don't we have the courage sometimes to bravely and definitely sever with the enemy and stand out wholeheartedly for God, because you cannot tolerate sin. I wish you'd write that little word down. Tolerate. The only security against sin is to be shocked at it. I confess you don't see much shock at sin these days. Even Christians have rubbed up against it all around them and in the newspapers and everywhere, and tolerated just a little of this and that until they have hardened their conscience. Your only security against sin is to be shocked at it. Keep the fires of indignation kindled hotly against sin. So many things are to our advantage with only a slight wound of conscience, only a little sacrifice of principle. And some haven't got the moral fiber to wholly separate themselves from forbidden companionships and some little social temptations. And I'll confess there are a lot of excuses made for just the slight wound of conscience when the thing that is wanted to be done is much to the advantage of the person. The greater sin and separation from God often starts with just an unholy friendship or ungodly association of some kind which seemed so advantageous for some reason, but ends in subverting the consecration for God that one time perhaps was wholehearted and so blessed. Dr. Livingston tells a story of a singular little creature he found in Africa called the antlion. It attacked and destroyed the strongest victims by a masterpiece of strategy, just like the devil does. It would excavate a little pit in the dry sand in the form of an inverted cone running to a point at the bottom. Then it would sit down at the base of its little pitfall and wait for some unsuspecting creature to tread too near the edge of the crumbling sand. The victim at last appeared, and perhaps just by curiosity looked over the edge of this strange excavation. But perhaps he lost his balance and rolled on the side of the little pit where the antlion waited for his prey. Not, however, directly and instantly does the destroyer attack his victim. It's sort of an unequal contest for the little strategist, but he opens his sharp little mouth and like a pair of powerful scissors, and with one quick movement he cuts off a limb. Now this keeps up until he's mutilated the little creature, and it tries to go up the slippery side of the pit, but just as it reaches the summit, it loses its footing again and tumbles once more into the jaws of this waiting little monster. And so limb by limb, it is wounded, and its remaining strength is gone. And at last, it falls right in the hands of its enemy, who devours at leisure the little animal or little creature, whichever it was. He wouldn't dare to have attacked it directly. He couldn't have had the strength to have done that. Now, that's the story of many a defeated Christian. Some little foxes, God's word says it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. You've heard that many times. But it's that little adversary that you didn't even dread that has brought the final destruction, separated you from God. It isn't by some outstanding attack of the enemy always, but by a thousand little wounds to the conscience that at last you lose your power of resistance against the enemy. And the King Saul's career is I think it's one of the saddest examples in God's word, of one who had such a noble beginning but ended in awful disaster simply because he began with just this little disobedience, if you can call any disobedience little. He had not lost out all at once, but the steady growth of sin in his life was horrible. At first, it was just seemingly a justified act, a slight disobedience, a slight wound to the conscience. Self-will was a sin in Saul's heart, but soon grew into a great giant that brought him to disgrace and disaster. But not all at once, remember. This was a picture of the growth of sin when it was tolerated. For nearly 10 years, he sat on Israel's throne and sat there while step by step the giant of sin grew. And that is the story of letting a little sin come into your life and not being shocked at it, not seeking God at once for victory over it until Satan's power has stripped you of the desire to resist. God help you. Remember, watch the little sins, the little things that separate you from God. God will help you if you ask Him. He'll give you the victory. For God's still on the throne, and prayer changes things.